So it's good to be back on Orchard Road. Of course, I've been here maybe 25 times over the years. It's always a delight to be in Singapore. But I am so excited about this ministry, the growth that is going on with Cornerstone, and this particular facility and what it means both spiritually, but also in a practical way in touching this part of this amazing city. So I'm honored to be here this morning, and I want to teach for just a little while today on a bit of a different subject. I prayed about this. I feel like this is what God wants me to share today. And I've entitled my thought this morning, Praying from Our Spirit. Praying from your spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, "May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." And then 1 Corinthians 14, verse 14 and 15, "For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. So what shall I do? I'll pray with my spirit, and I will also pray with my understanding. I will sing with my spirit, but I'll also sing with my understanding." Would you bow your head? Father, thank you for the opportunity to be in Singapore this week, to be at Cornerstone, to be with friends, and to be with these new faces here today. Now, Holy Spirit, I need you to communicate through me today so that we open up the deepest part of our life to you, and we learn how to connect, Lord, from way down in our spirit. I pray you'd help me now to communicate in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Well, I believe that the Bible teaches man is a trinity. The Bible says that we are created in the image of God. You remember in the book of Genesis, scripture says, "Let us make man in our image." This is the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit saying, "Let us make man in our image." Therefore, it makes sense that we also, as humans, would be a trinity. We would be a composition of three parts together as one, seemingly inseparable, and yet all three parts somewhat different, like the Trinity. Very hard to explain, by the way, but still important. Now, at Oral Roberts University, we teach whole person education. We have a diagram we use a lot of times. It's on the screen. This sort of shows that at our university, we try to equip the mind, which is part of the soul, and we try to have help our students be strong spiritually. We also teach them how to discipline their body. They have to do aerobic exercise. They wear a Fitbit. We record their steps and all kinds of stuff. If you want to know more about ORU, by the way, we have a young lady here from Guangzhou in China that's helping us recruit across Asia. Hannah, are you in here right now? Yeah, Hannah, stand up. Everybody give Hannah a hand. She's here representing ORU. And we appreciate her very much. So be sure to touch her if you want to know more about our university. But I'm not talking about ORU today so much as I am about the Trinity of man, body, soul, and spirit. This passage in Thessalonians is one of our theme scriptures to talk about our whole person, all that we are being consecrated, dedicated, and sanctified before God. Now, body comes from the Greek word soma, which of course means physical appearance, our outward person, our outward man. In many ways, the soma is the container for our personhood. It is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. I might say important to note that God redeems everything. He redeems our soul, our spirit, and our body, and ultimately all of us will be redeemed. We believe in the resurrection of the body. God's not going to leave anything behind of you. When you're saved, he's going to take it all with him to heaven. Now you get a new body, but he will redeem even your body. And then we are also soul. We are soul. This word comes from the Greek word psuche, which includes our emotions, our will, and our mind. Now, the word mind within that is nous, which means rational mind, will, our decision-making capacity, our affections. Somebody has said that the mind is the software of the soul, our psuche, body, soul. And then the third part of us as a trinity of man is our spirit. This comes from the Greek word pneuma, which means breath, blast, vital principle, or the deepest part of us. Now, the truth is, it's hard for us as humans to separate this. We're in this body, we are soul and spirit, and we are united, again, like the Trinity. Hard to separate the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They're all one, and yet they are all different. Even so with us. However, Scripture does teach us that soul and spirit are different. Hebrews 4:12 says, the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates, even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. In many ways, the writer of Hebrews is saying God's word is able to cut through just our mind and our emotions and our soul and get to the deepest part of us, to our spirit man. He says it's like the bone and the marrow. The spirit being the marrow inside of our bone, and the bone being like our soul and emotions covering it. But God's word is able to cut all the way through to the deepest part of us, the spirit. Now, the Bible says a lot about the human spirit. It talks about us being steadfast in spirit, willing in spirit, lowly in spirit, contrite in our spirit, haughty in spirit at some times, strong in spirit. It even talks about us having a new spirit. Ezekiel 11 and 19 says, I will give them an undivided heart and put a new spirit. This is little s. This is not big s. This is not Holy Spirit. This is human spirit. I will put a new spirit in them. I will remove from them their heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh. Now, it is in your spirit, in your deepest most being, in the marrow of your life, that you know you are a Christian. If you don't know in your deepest, deepest person that you're a Christian, you may not really be one. Because Romans 18 says the Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit, himself testifies with our spirit, human spirit, that we are God's children. In other words, the deepest part of us, the deepest core of who we are, connects with God and witnesses that we have become a son of the living God. We have been born again in our spirit. We were dead in our spirit. We're born again in our spirit. We have a new human spirit, and we are the children of the living God. Amen, amen and amen. Now, even Jesus had a human spirit. In Luke 23 and 46, Jesus called out with a loud voice, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. His deepest life, the deepest part of his person, is committed to the Father when he dies. And Stephen, when he is being stoned and being martyred, he says, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. When we die, the deepest part of us goes back to God and becomes in God's hands. Now, what I want to talk about today is that prayer is a whole life experience. Prayer should involve our body, our soul, our emotions and mind, and our spirit. Our body, because the Bible talks about us lifting holy hands as we pray. The Bible talks about us bending our knees as we pray. The Bible talks about us lifting our voice as we pray. And so we use our body to communicate to God. It's part of prayer. But we also use our soul, our emotions, our mind. We understand what we're saying and what we're praying, and we use our rational capacity to talk to God, and we use our emotions. Sometimes when we pray, we're loud. Sometimes when we're quiet, sometimes we're quiet. Sometimes we shout, sometimes we whisper. Sometimes we cry, and sometimes we laugh. It affects our emotions when we pray. However, Many people pray with their body and their mind, but never really pray with their spirit, their deepest part of us. The Bible talks about deep calling unto deep, that the deepest part of our humanity is connecting with God in prayer. Deep is calling to deep. The deepest part of us is connecting with the deepest part of God. Deep calls to deep. So this is why Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14. Now, I used to read this passage, and I misunderstood it, just to be honest. So I want to explain to you. I used to think that Paul was saying, I'll pray with the Holy Spirit, and I'll pray with my understanding. That's not what he's saying. Let's read it again, okay? Paul says, if I pray in a tongue, he's been talking about unknown tongues. He's been talking about being edified when you speak in an unknown tongue. He's been talking about when I pray in tongues, nobody understands me and I don't understand myself. So he says, when I pray in a tongue, my spirit, little s, I used to think that was a big S, Holy Spirit. It's not, it's a little s. My human spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. So what am I going to do, Paul says? I will pray with my spirit, but I'll also pray with my understanding. I'll sing with my spirit. A lot of people sing with their emotion. A lot of people sing with their body. But very few people get down to where their total inner man, the deepest sanctuary of your life, is singing. But I'll also sing with my understanding. Now, very interesting, a study was done about 20 years ago of people speaking in tongues and what happens to the human mind when a person prays or speaks in tongues, when they have the phenomenon known as glossolalia, which is tongue speech. They did a study at the University of Pennsylvania about 20 years ago, and they brought charismatic believers in and asked them to pray in tongues. So some of them prayed in tongues, some of them sang in tongues, and they did charts of their brain. Now, important in what they found. In fact, they were surprised by what they found. And what they discovered was that when a person prays in tongues, it is different than human speech in the brain, okay? Remember, Paul says, when I pray in a tongue, my understanding's not fruitful. I'm praying in from my spirit. So on the left, they did these CAT scans while people were praying in tongues and then while they were praying in English, because they were in America, so they were praying in English. They also, by the way, did studies on monks praying. They did studies on the nuns praying. And they found that praying normally activates the frontal lobe. And you'll see up here at the top, see those three red dots? This is the frontal lobe, which is where we have our will and control our willful behaviors, okay? In other words, sort of our rational capacity is in these frontal lobes. So they found when people were praying in English or a known language, it would activate your frontal lobe. So when you're praying, Our Father which art in heaven, and you understand what you're saying, it's activating your thought life. It is activating your mind, your nous, and part of your soul, okay? However, on the right, when people began to pray in tongues, they found that the frontal lobe went quiet. In fact, there was very little activity in the frontal lobe, and yet people are speaking in other words in tongues. Now, this absolutely confirmed, science does that, by the way, real science, confirmed the word of God, that when I pray in tongues, when I pray in a tongue, my understanding is not fruitful. In other words, it's not coming from my mind, it's coming from the mind of God through my human spirit. I'm praying from my deepest being, but my mind is not so engaged. You should give God praise right there. It was a great study, by the way. It is in our deepest life, in our deepest person, we express our need for God. And many believers never get really through to praying from their spirit. One of the ways, of course, is through tongues. But I'm talking about getting down to where you're really praying from your innermost being, from your inner sanctuary of your life. Jesus said it this way, blessed are the poor in spirit, little s, your spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I like the way this version says it. Blessed are those who are spiritually needy, The kingdom of heaven belongs to them. It is in your deepest person, not just in your body and not just in your emotions or your rational will, that you express your deepest, deepest need for God. Blessed are those who are poor, needy in spirit. It is also, and stay with me now this morning, it is also in your human spirit that you find resilience and ongoing strength. Paul would say, we don't lose heart, though our outward man is wasting away, though our body is deteriorating. Boy, I look in the mirror and I think, man, what happened to that young man I used to know way back there? My spirit doesn't feel that way, but my body does. I'm around young people all the time, so I feel very young inside, and I look in the mirror and think, well, no wonder they think I'm a grandpa on campus. I look like one. Our outward man is wasting away, yet inwardly, we are renewed day by day. In my spirit, I'm a 20-year-old. Hallelujah. Everybody say amen. In my body, I'm a 60-something-year-old. But it's way down in the human spirit that we find the resilience needed to endure as a Christian. Jesus said this, we should always pray and not faint. We should never quit in our prayers. We should keep on praying. I'm convinced that many people quit too soon, usually because they are praying from their rationality or from their emotions or from just lip service or their body. They quit too soon. When you get down into the real need of your life, into the inner sanctuary, into the marrow of your existence, when you get down to the human spirit, it is there you can find strength to endure whatever comes against you. Somebody say amen. Some of us quit too soon. Jesus in Luke 18 said, you know, we ought to always pray and not to give up, not to quit. He talks about a woman, and this woman wanted justice. And she decides to go to the judge in her town. The judge doesn't fear God. He doesn't fear the woman. She knocks on the door. She says, I want vengeance from my adversary. And the judge doesn't answer her. So she just keeps going back day after day, day after day. She's knocking on the door saying, I need vengeance. I need justice. I want help. I need you. I need help. Finally, the Bible says, though this judge doesn't regard God or man, he says, this woman is going to bug me to death if I don't answer her. And he gives her a judgment. Then Jesus says, how much more will your heavenly Father answer the prayers of his children that persist and are resilient before God? Then he says this in Luke 18. He says, will the Son of Man find faith on the earth when he comes? In other words, will the Son of Man, will I find this kind of faithful endurance where people learn to pray from their spirit and endure? Jesus said, in all of the chaos of the world and wars and rumors of wars and famine and earthquake and in deception and in the falling away and in the apostasy of the day, he says, those that endure to the end shall be saved. Those that find inner resilience, that find the capacity in their human spirit to go on and keep on praying will be saved. Give God praise right there. Amen. Don't quit too soon. That's what I'm saying to you today. Don't quit too soon. The woman with the issue of blood could have quit within 6 inches of touching Jesus' garment and she would have never been healed. But she pushed through and touched him. The Syrophoenician woman coming because her daughter had been possessed of the devil and asking for Jesus' help could have quit early. Jesus ignored her at first. He told his disciples to send her away. He ultimately says to her, would it be right for me to take the children's bread and give it to dogs? You're a Gentile. The children are the people of Israel. Would it be right for me to take their bread and give it to dogs? But she just kept going. She was determined. Something way down in her spirit was wanting to connect with God. And she says, oh, but even the dogs get the crumbs from the master's table. Just give me a crumb. Just help me touch you.
you. Just help me, help me, help me. I'm needy in my spirit. And those who are needy in their spirit, they receive the kingdom of God.
Jesus says, you have great faith. And he gave her what she requested. Well, we could go on and on. The early church praying for the apostle Peter. Elisha not giving up when following Elijah. You remember that account? Elijah's getting ready to go home in a cloud of glory and fire and power. And Elisha's following him. He's his servant. And the prophet Elijah says to the young man that is following him, you need to stay here. I'm going across the Jordan. I'm going home. I'm like a salmon going back to die. I'm going back where I came from. I'm going from west of Jordan back across to the east of Jordan. Now, that was the homeland of Elijah. That was not the homeland of Elisha. Elisha was from west of Jordan. So Elisha, in order to follow Elijah, had to get out of his comfort zone. He says, I want you to stay here, Gilgal. I'm going to Bethel. He said, no way. I'm alive. You're alive. I'm staying with you. I haven't come this far to quit now. He goes to Bethel. He says, I need you to stay here. I'm going on over to the Jordan River. And the guys around him, his friends, his peers, said, you need to stay here, man. You're about to lose your job. You've been the water boy for a prophet, and God's taking the prophet home. He's telling all of us, Elijah's getting ready to go to glory, and you're going to be out of a job. Elisha says, I know it. Everybody hold your peace. I know what I'm doing. I'm determined. I've made up my mind. I'm not stopping until I get what I'm after. He gets to the Jordan River. Elijah takes his mantle, smites the river. It divides. They go over on dry ground. Elisha leaves his comfort zone behind and goes into foreign territory. And when they get on the other side, he will not quit. He has not stopped. Finally, Elijah, bugged, tired of fooling with this young man, turns around and says, what do you want? Elisha said, I just want to be your son. I want a double portion. I want the firstborn portion. I want a double portion of what's on your life. And then Elijah says this to him, if you see me when I'm taken up, you can have it. But if you quit too soon, you're not going to get it. Even then. So can you imagine Elisha? I don't think he slept for several days. Slept with one eye open. Is now the time? Is now the time? And every morning when Elijah got up and walked a little further, Elisha was right beside of him, right with him. He would not quit. He was close to the blessing, but he would not quit until he attained the blessing. And finally, a chariot of fire came down from heaven and separated them and took Elijah up. And when Elijah went up, his mantle fell to the ground. Elisha tore off his old clothes. He put on his new robe of the mantle. He went back to the Jordan River. He hit the river. He said, where's the God of Elijah? And the water divided again, and he went right back into his ministry. He had to die to get the anointing. He had to die to get back into his ministry, and God used him miraculously. Why? Because he would not quit. Something in his human spirit would not give up. Give God praise right there. Amen. Great illustration from Napoleon Hill in a book, Think and Grow Rich. I like the title of that book. Think and Grow Rich. The very first chapter, Napoleon Hill talks about a man he calls R, initial Darby. R. Darby had traveled west in the United States during the gold rush. He found a place where he found some gold, and so he went to the claims office and staked his claim on this piece of property. He then bought a bunch of equipment. Back in those days, you dug a lot of earth out in Colorado, and you put it in this machine, and it did shook it and got it all apart, and the gold was heavy, and so it would fall to the bottom. He got all the machinery. He was ready. He began to dig tons and tons of dirt out of this area where he had found some gold. He went one day, 2 days, 3 days. He went 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. He went 1 month, 2 months, 3 months. He kept digging and digging and digging, and all of a sudden where he found the gold, there was no more gold. He couldn't understand it. He was frustrated. He was tired. He was upset. Finally, he said, there's no more gold here, and I quit. He paid thousands of dollars for this equipment, but he couldn't find anybody that wanted to buy it, so he sold the equipment to a junk dealer for a very small, small price, really just the price of the metal. The junk dealer bought this mining equipment, and he began to ask some people in the area. He said, how do you do this thing? How do you mine? Mr. Darby left town. He went back to his other employment. And this junk dealer finally decided, I'm going to try to dig a little more. He dug, and what he found was Darby quit 3 feet from one of the largest gold finds in Colorado. He dug 3 feet further, and he hit gold. I'm convinced many Christians quit too soon, because they never really pray from their spirit. They pray from their mind, and their mind can't understand why the answer hasn't come yet. Their mind can't understand why the journey has been long, why they got to cross this river, why they got to go through this, why they got to stay awake, why they got to keep going. They don't understand it. But I want to tell you, when you start praying from your spirit, you don't have to understand it. You groan, you moan, you seek God. The Holy Spirit helps you, and you connect with the heart of God, and you will not quit. Come on, give God praise. Several years ago, I've been at ORU now about 13 years, about 3 years after I became president at ORU, my son Ashley was planting a church in a city in the United States called Lexington, Kentucky. It's where the University of Kentucky is. It's a university town. It's a nice town, beautiful place, horse racing. It's a beautiful place. And God had touched Ashley to start a church there, and he planted a church. And during the church plant, he got extremely sick. Very difficult city to plant a church in. And Ashley got very sick. And he got what is called ulcerative colitis. I think you understand that in Singapore. It's like Crohn's disease, except just a little different. And he went to the bathroom multiple times every day until finally he got to bleeding a lot from his rectum. He tried all kinds of medicine. He tried some of this medicine, Humira, and some other medicines that supposedly would stop the inflammation and his body attacking itself. Even the medicine was dangerous. In fact, it was life-threatening itself. But nothing worked. Finally, the doctor at the University of Kentucky Hospital said to Ashley, Ashley, I don't think we have any choice but to take your colon out. And so we do this surgery where we take your colon out and we take your small intestine and we fold it onto itself. We call it a J-pouch surgery, and we create you a new colon, so to speak. We hated it. We'd prayed. We'd sought God. We'd cried out. And Ashley was still bleeding, almost bled to death. It was a horrific journey for his family, several years worth. And finally, the day came for Ashley to go into the hospital and have the surgery. So Lisa and I got on a plane, my wife and I. We flew to Lexington, Kentucky. We arrived the night before. We checked into a motel near the hospital. We talked to Ashley. We said, we'll meet you at the hospital early in the morning. He was to be there like at 6 o'clock in the morning. And about 4:30 in the morning, we got a call. And it was a bit of an alarm. We heard from Ashley. And he said, Mom and Dad said something's wrong. And said, Jamie, my wife's taking me to the hospital right now. And we said, what's happening, son? He said, well, my leg is swollen about twice as big as it should be. And he said, my heart rate's really up. And he said, something's wrong. So they rushed Ashley to the emergency room at University of Kentucky Hospital. They began to work on him. Lisa and I arrived in the little cubicle he was at. In about 30 minutes to an hour, they were doing x-rays on him. They were taking blood. And what they discovered was he had a blood clot that extended all the way from his waist all the way to his ankle. And the blood clot had begun breaking up. In fact, by the time he got to the hospital, several of small clots had gone through his lung. Now, most of you would understand that when a blood clot goes through your lung, the chances of survival are very small. And so as I stood by the side of my son, my only son, I have a daughter as well. Ashley had 3 beautiful children, his wife there with him. I began to cry and realize I may have been talking to my son for the very last day of his life. Blood clots had already gone to his heart and he could die at any moment. I didn't know what to do. It was a bit of an overwhelming thing for a dad. Your only son, your hopes are in him. And so I told Lisa and Jamie, I said, I need to get away for a moment. So I asked around, I said, is there a chapel in this hospital? They said, yeah, down the hall. I went to this little chapel room. It was really beautiful little place, and nobody was in there, thank God. I shut the door. I got on my face, and I began to pray. Now, it was emotional, But it went way deeper than emotion. From way down in my spirit, I began to pray. And before long, I was praying in another tongue. My frontal lobe went down. I didn't understand what the words meant, but I began to pray, and I prayed loud. It was a loud, loud moment. I may have scared people around me. I don't know. I didn't care. It didn't matter to me. My son was at the point of death, and I wanted God to come through, and I needed a rescue moment. And as I prayed in the Holy Spirit, something unusual happened. Now, I don't know if you believe in this kind of stuff, so it doesn't really matter to me. I'm just going to tell you what happened to me. In that moment, as I'm praying in tongues, as I'm praying in the Spirit, I see this image. It's a very unusual image. It's very dark. It's black. But it looks like a samurai, ancient Japanese warrior on a horse. The horse has armor on it, and the samurai warrior has armor on him, metal kind of armor. And this horse is black and dark, and the samurai is black and dark, and it's riding toward my son. And in the spirit, I don't know if I said English words. I don't know what happened, but I knew I said this. It may have been in tongues. I said, "Who are you and what are you doing?" And this thing, this samurai-looking thing, said, "My name is Destiny Destroyer, and I have come to destroy the destiny of your son." Now, when I looked at this thing, he had long claws on both hands that looked sort of like, super character Wolverine? You ever seen the movie? Well, young people know what I'm talking about. You know, those metal claw kind of thing. And I watched in my spirit as I'm praying from my spirit that these big claws, I can see that they are being dragged through the intestines of my son. I said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm destroying the destiny of your son." I said, "No, you're not." Now, you think it was strong before that. I began to pray in the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit began to pray through me. It wasn't just from my mind. It was definitely emotional, but it wasn't just from my emotion. It wasn't just from my mouth. Something way down inside of me was desperate. I needed God's help. And as I began to pray strongly in the Holy Spirit, all of a sudden this horse stopped and collapsed. And I knew God had given us the victory. Yeah. We had to walk it out. I went back in the emergency room. The doctor said, "We don't understand this. Multiple blood clots have went through your son's lungs. They have migrated to the edges of his lungs, and they're not killing him. We can't understand it. Most people would not have lived through this moment." They gave him blood thinner. They sent him home. His leg began to go down and it's swelling. It began to dissolve this blood clot in his body. He waited about 6 weeks and then he went back in for the surgery. Still didn't heal that. He had to go back for surgery. He goes back in for surgery. They do the J-pouch surgery. They take his colon out. They put a hole in his side till it can heal up. They fold the intestines over and they let him begin to heal up. At the end of that process, he goes back into the hospital to get reattached, is what they call it. And so they close the hole up and they reattach his intestine. And the doctor comes out and says to Jamie, his wife, "Everything's went wonderful. The surgery looks awesome. It's going to be fine." But it wasn't fine. 1 day, 2 day, 3 day, 4 days, 5 days, his stomach did not wake up. They were supposed to begin to hear bowel sounds. They didn't hear anything. No activity was going on. And Ashley began to get very toxic. In fact, all of the poison began to build up in his body. He turned sort of a green color. They had to put a tube into him to pump it all out. And we were still in Tulsa, and Jamie called us and said, "We think it's really serious. They've called in a special force here in the hospital. Ashley could die." So I got back on the plane that very day. I flew to Lexington. I got there as soon as I could. I walked into the hospital room. I didn't say a word.
I didn't even say hello to Jamie. She was sitting against the wall. I looked at my son. He had tubes all around him. He was a green color. He looked so sick, and it was so horrible, and I was so ticked off at the devil, and I laid my hands on Ashley, and I began to pray in tongues again strongly and loudly, and as I prayed in tongues, I felt something go through his body. I felt the Holy Spirit go through his body, and I felt something come out of his body, and what I saw in the Spirit was unusual. As I'm praying for him, I see remnants of these claws in Ashley's gut. And as I pray in the Holy Spirit, now this is weird for me. I don't do this kind of stuff all the time. But as I prayed in the Holy Spirit, I saw these remnants, these claw pieces begin to flow out of his body. Jamie, sitting against the wall, leaned forward. She said, "Papa, I just saw something go out of Ashley's body." And in just a moment, listen, in just a moment, his color began to clear up. And before the day was out, he was drinking fluids. And before the next day was out, he was eating food. And he woke up and he's doing good. And he's traveling the world for Jesus. Come on, give God praise. Woo! Now, some of you know, some of you don't know, but some of you know, Ashley now, providentially, not even by my doing necessarily, is the executive director of Empowered 21. He travels all over the world. He eats everything he wants to and sometimes way too much of it. And God has healed him. He is doing great. And God has sustained him. Let me tell you, don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. When something gets down in your spirit for the will of God, pray. And keep on praying and keep on praying and let the Holy Spirit pray through you until your spirit touches God's spirit and it is done. Everybody stand in this room. Praying from our spirit. Praying from our spirit. Not just your mind, not just your emotions, not just your body. I'm talking about the deepest part of your life touching the deepest heart of your Heavenly Father. Everybody raise your hands. Use your body as an expression of surrender. Raise your hands. Several of you in this room have things in your life you've been praying for a while. Your rational mind doesn't understand why victory hasn't come. Don't faint. Don't quit. Today, I want you to bring that before God again. I want you to start with your rational mind. But in just a moment, I want it to move down into your spirit. Sometimes it's just with a groan. Sometimes it's not even in tongues. Sometimes it's groans we don't even understand. It's just, oh, oh, God. Oh, oh. Oh, oh, Father. Oh, Abba, Abba, Father. And then sometimes it's in words you don't understand. Paul says, what am I going to do? I'm going to pray with my spirit and I'll pray with my understanding. I'm going to let the Holy Spirit pray through me even when I don't understand what it's going on. And when he does, God's going to answer. So if you pray in tongues, in this moment, I want you to pray for what concerns you and what you need from God in other tongues. And if you've never prayed in other tongues, this would be an awesome morning just to open your mouth and let the Holy Spirit pray through you in words you don't understand. Come on, all over this room, let's pray. Bring healing, Lord. Bring deliverance, Lord. Break the power of every destiny destroyer in this room. Let our children go free. Let our homes go free. Let the powers of hell be defeated. Stop the enemy, Lord, in his tracks, I pray, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Do your work, do your work, do your work this morning. Rakamonde hele bakashata romande ledebai. Rebabonde de barakarinda yete bobo rakabande. Rinda hendo ho riata shakabaya. Robede katabo runde balakaramanda la karabataya. Holy Spirit, do your work. take my human spirit, connect it with God's spirit, and I find an answer that I need. You know my need today. Oh God, you know the needs of ORU today. They're many, they're big. I pray in the spirit. I pray from my spirit. I pray you would do the supernatural. I pray you would do what I can't do, God. Please, please do what I can't do, Holy Spirit. Thank you, God. My. Come on. Love, touch God. Touch God from your spirit this morning. Touch him from your spirit. I love you, Jesus. I praise you, Jesus. If you're here this morning and you need healing in your body, raise your hand. You need healing. Come on, keep it up for just a minute. Keep it up for just a minute. I mean, you're desperate. There's about five people in this room. You're desperate for healing. You've got a bad report. You got a bad report from the doctor. It looks like things are not going to be good. But something inside of you is saying, don't quit. Don't give up. Don't accept the doctor's report above my report. Believe me. God is saying, believe me. Believe me. Believe me. Trust me. Trust me. Trust me. Seek me. Seek me. Seek me. Touch me. Touch me. Touch me. Keep your hand up. Keep your hand up. Somebody's hands up beside you. Would you just reach over and lay your hand on them and lay hands on the sick right now and heal them in Jesus' name. Come on, everybody. Pray from your spirit. Oh, yeah. Understanding, yes, but from our spirit as well. It's from our spirit that we connect with God's spirit. It's in our spirit we know we're his children. It's in our spirit we connect with the eternal, the supernatural, the beyond the normal. Hey, oh, God, from my human spirit, I cry out to you. Touch my body, the corpus of my life, my soma. Let the trinity of my person, God, all be redeemed. Heal my soul, heal my crushed spirit, and heal, God, even my body today. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Oh, my. One more prayer. Sorry, I'm going just a little long, but I just want to make sure I do what the Holy Spirit wants here today. Thank you, Holy Spirit. One of the things the Holy Spirit, the Word of God says is that sometimes our spirit gets crushed. In other words, our very inner man, not just our emotion, not just some tears, but way down inside, we get crushed. We get wounded so deep it gets down into our person. Some of you have had some life wounds like that. It went just beyond your mind or emotions and even beyond your body. It's way down inside of you, and you need a deep, deep, deep healing. I want to remind you this morning that Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted or the crushed in spirit. When Jesus bled, he bled from his back, his hands, his head, his feet, his side. But the one place we forget sometimes that Jesus bled is he bled internally. He was bruised. A bruise is an internal bleed. Jesus bled externally for our physical healing, but he bled internally for our inner healing. He wants to heal your crushed spirit and make you alive again in Jesus' name. If you've had a crushed spirit, and you need God to heal you on the inside, just lift up both hands right now. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Oh, yeah, the pain got way down inside you. Ah, the blood of Jesus that caused him to bleed internally as they bruised his body covers this wound now. I see it being healed up, stitched up. I see it being covered over. I see new flesh, new heart, new spirit. I see the crushing. I see it dissipating inside of you. I see new joy, new peace, new life coming from the very deepest part of your being. Be healed in Jesus' name from the inside out. Be healed right now. Come on, keep your hands up. Somebody beside you, reach over and put your arm around them, would you please, right now? And pray that their deepest person would be made whole, would be made complete by the blood of Jesus. Come on, minister to one another today. Minister to one another. Let's sing something. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
You've just listened to a production of Cornerstone Community Church. Please note that all unauthorized reproduction, distribution, or sale of the recording is prohibited. For permission to reproduce or distribute the sermon, please write into mail@cscc.org.sg. We hope that you have been blessed.